Okay, everybody, Joshi 2010s, here we are, another episode. We're talking Wave. We just came off a nice little schedule here. Let's see here. Last couple episodes was the Stardom Osaka Championship night, with Alpha Female. Before that, we had Yoneyama going for gold again. And then we got the, typical Oz Academy, what the hell are they doing, with Ayumi Kurihara and the Ozaki match. But Wave has been, I can't call it a journey, that's for sure. But last time we covered Wave was the DualShock Wave tournament. Back from September to November 2012 here. And what we're doing is we're kind of finishing out Wave's year minus the Reina de Reina show. We're still going to cover that. But calling this Wave Quarter 4, essentially, because it's how they finished up the DualShock Wave tournament into the end of the year. We had the Toshiyamatsu retirement at the beginning of the year, and we got Ran Yuyu retirement at the end of the year. So how did they utilize these two players? And I still think they handled the Toshiyamatsu retirement very well. They got essentially their highest attendance ever. In doing that, they started out the Catch the Wave tournament with that highlight, and it did some better numbers than they ever have for that. So here we have kind of the same thing going on. Except it's on the back end of a tournament instead of the beginning, based on, you know, how you gotta plan out the year. But we got the tag tournament with Ran Yuyu's looming retirement. Now, one thing is very clear the more we've watched Wave over the last, you know, this is year three now on this journey, where Gammy and Yumioka book in this thing. Whoever has the paper, whoever has the financials, they switch off. It definitely varies, and you see patterns in just how they make cards and who they push and highlight. And it really never makes total sense, right? This compilation here covers four shows, two in November, two in December. And the December show, I think, is a good example of how this company just kind of doesn't know what they're doing most of the time. They don't get it. It's very much run like an indie that's not going to grow. And you can constantly see examples of this. And I think these two December shows in particular, and that December 16th show, are grand examples of it. Okay? How are they going to take advantage of the Ran Yuyu retirement? How are they going to take advantage of finishing out the DualShock Wave tournament? And what they've done is they've crowned Masaki Iwata and Tsukasa Fujimoto as their tag champions. Okay? These are your new tag champions. You're coming off the Kana Kurihara run. You had Gami and Tomoko Nakagawa stinking up the place, particularly on the November 4th show, which they got a 20-minute draw against Hamada and Kana. Okay? So the talents available on the show are certainly there. You have Kana, you have Hamada on a show, you got plenty of Mio Shirai going around, Ayumi Kurihara. Were there any good matches? Were there any angles? Was there anything interesting? Well, let's get into it. I got some attendances, you know. So let's see here. November 16th, 217, Shinkiba First Ring. That followed the November 4th Shinkiba First Ring show of 227. We talked about the Tag League matches on that episode and their attendances. So the main ones are now going to be December 5th at Shinkiba First Ring. Ran Yuyu retirement going up against Gami in the main event. 157. Right before St. Nicholas Day. Not sure the cultural significance of that day. I know in Germany it was a huge holiday. But we'll get to that match, and there's probably a good reason why they drew only 157. And then December 16th, Shinkiba First Ring, 323 to end the year. Okay, so you had your tag title match in the main event of Ohada and Fujimoto. Okay? So clearly there was an interest there and a hot period at the end of the year during the holidays. Okay? So it's hard to piss on that number in terms of comparison to other Wave numbers, But regardless, we'll get to that card. This is going to be definitely a shorter episode, and I do want to announce that look on the Patreon forward to an episode that's going to cover Lucha Joshi. Because if you listen to the RLL proper, now covering CMLL Women's Division, maybe we'll do some AAA every now and again. Very, very rough watching the indies for women's wrestling. But with the combination of CMLL really taking off back into interest in 2023, and the women's division has taken a big stride in development since March of this year in particular, that's where I'm putting it, I've really gotten into the CMLL women's division in a way to kind of educate myself, and hopefully everyone else learns. I'm adding the Lucha Joshi kind of to this 2010s journey in some capacity. There will be an episode of some key matches that I can find, because it is still difficult to find that stuff, from 2010 through 2012, and that will be a big catch-up, and that'll kind of get us ready for the Reina de Reinas, because that'll educate all of us listening, and myself included, who some of these figures were back then, because Reina is going to be an interesting promotion to start covering here, and we'll get to a lot more of that in 2013, but that's a good kickoff show to educate ourselves, so look forward to the Lucha Joshi episode. It might be a little bit shorter, might be longer. Who knows how much I have to say about them. I've already watched a few of them. And then from there on, I could do either slipping... I made a message on the Patreon in that new message area of the app, whether that can be matches added in time to episodes like this, or just build up a match catalog again and just go through it by year. You know, get 2, 3, 4, 5 matches, and then just do a whole episode of Lucha Joshi for the 2010s journey. Because it's definitely a heavily undercovered aspect of wrestling, and women's wrestling is the very interesting and, regressed history that is women's wrestling in Mexico. The most common thing spoken was for 30 years? Let's see, it was from like 1956 to 1986, I think. So that'd be 30 years where women were not allowed to wrestle in Mexico City. And then CMLL really didn't do anything to develop a women's division until 2005. Which is ironic, because that's, maybe it's not ironic, but that was the closure of Gaia and AJW. And then that's when CMLL decided to kick it off. And we'll be looking at kind of wrestlers and what the skill level is and what they bring, essentially only, truly 5 years into development. Which brings just something that popped into my head, kind of perspective on the AEW women's division, where started from scratch, let's call it 2005, and we're heading into year 5. Have they made significant strides in it, or did they just accumulate talent and put them on TV? And I'm seeing a lot of similarities just initially with how AEW's run its women's division to how CMLL kickstarted off their women's division from 05 to like 2012, right? Oh yeah, you'll get the occasional like cage match, right? But it's kind of one match a show. Maybe you get something good here and there. Maybe they get a focus, but it's interesting. And yes, these thoughts and announcements did come because this Wave episode isn't much to discuss, digress, because there was no development, there was no rivalries kicked. Well, we got a Kana Yumi Oka brawl after a match on one of these shows. Let's see here, which one was it? It was the December 5th show at Shinkiba in a trios match where it was Kurihara, Kana, and Mio Shirai defeating the Mizunami, Yumioka, Yuyamagata tandem. It went 16 and a half minutes. That might have been the best match on all of these shows, if I'm being honest. And yeah, it had the Kana, Yumioka brawl in the post, and you're like, okay, what are they going to do? Well, it just so happens the December 16th show was called Regina DeWave. And in the news, we got the announcement of they're going to come out with a singles title called Regina DeWave. Does Kana and Yumioka have anything to do with that? What's Kurihara's role going to be? Is Misaki Iwata going to be tied up in these tag titles for a while? Is Shushi Batani finally going to get a big push? What's Gami's role going to be? A lot of questions involving who's going to be gunning for this title and what the end result is going to be. I couldn't find confirmation if they announced if there was going to be a tournament or just sort of the last number of Catch the Wave winners. It wasn't really clear. I believe it's going to be a knockout tournament, and they're going to have it take place over a few shows. Not confirmed. I couldn't really find. I found conflicting reports of what was actually announced during this time. Since I don't speak Japanese, well, doing the best I got. Okay. So loose notes here from here on out. Very simple episode. I'm 11 minutes in. So, hey, we might be getting a 15-minute episode here. Sawako Shimono wins a three-way over Sakuroda and Yu Yamagata. Okay, here's something else. Sakuroda, she's got to go from this promotion. Holy shit. Every single time this woman steps in a ring, it's nonsense. And I'm tired of it. She brings nothing to the table for this promotion. And you know what it reminds me of? She's replacing Gami with the comedy shtick nonsense that's going to infect into the upper cards in time. There's my take. Bah humbug, Sakuroda. Do not enjoy. A match I did enjoy was Ayumi Kurihara defeating Aya Yuki in 9:47. This was very solid. Solid wrestling. I went 2 out of 3 on this. I thought it was a strong 3.5-star match. Sick headbutt from Kurihara to change the kind of the middle portion of the match, and it totally changed the complexion of what was going to happen. And it ends on a roll-up exchange once Yuki kicked out of some heavy Kurihara suplexes. Very enjoyable. Just a straight-up match, almost 10 minutes. Kind of reminds me of something fit for TV with a little bit more of the harder hitting that we like from watching our Japanese women's wrestling. Yumioka goes to a draw with Ran Yuyu, and this is the start. Here we go. This is it. We got 3 matches left with Ran Yuyu. Does she put someone over? What do they do? Well, they go to a draw with Yumioka. I went 1 out of 3 wreck. I thought it was okay, but I'm like, Ran Yuyu can't just lose to Yumioka? I don't know. And then, not our main event, but third from the top was Mio Shirai defeats Misaki Iwata. Mio Shirai is the Ice Ribbon Champion at this point in time. So, Mio Shirai, she's weird. Her booking is super strange because Ice Ribbon put the title on her. She is not a good champion by any means. Misaki Iwata is mid-card, upper mid-card at this point in time. I get the feeling they want. It's so strange. It's like, okay, sometimes you get the feeling they're pushing her, but then she gets put in situations like this where politically it's like you can't make this move. Mio Shirai has to win. But then again, Ice Ribbon doesn't command the most respect in 2012 Joshi scene, right? And Mio Shirai has usually been treated as more or less a comedy relief jobber type character that has a few good kicks. Yeah, she can roll you up every now and again, but that's the best she got. And that's outside Ice Ribbon. Not very good. We'll move on to November 16th. Only 2 matches on this compilation for this because the rest were basically this was the DualShock League Finals show with the very good Ohada Fujimoto Shibutani Shuri match. I very much enjoyed that. So we got Mio Shirai versus Ayumi Kurihara versus Sakuroda versus Moka Harui versus Cherry. Comedy nonsense. That's what it was. Don't worry about it. Ran Yuyu versus Ryu Mizunami. 14 minutes, another solid kind of one out of three wreck effort. And Ranyu just steamrolls right through Ryu Mizunami. And Ryu Mizunami is now another one. She's clearly improved immensely over the last X amount of time that we've been covering this. The more she gets away from Sendai, the more she gets better. And here we are. She's gotten some... She's kind of in that Masaki Iwata position right at this moment. And unfortunately, Ranyu just straight up goes over. I don't understand why. They're in the middle of this... They're in the semi-main event of this show. And Ranyu is retiring in a fucking, like, 2 weeks. Right? Maybe three at this point in time. I don't get it. Is there something politically I don't understand or I'm missing? Or is this just the way they want to book it? And, you know, outside of the select obvious people, I don't think Ran Yuyu has a whole hell of a lot of pull to just say, no, I'm not losing to Ryu Mizunami. I think it's more of just a traditional respect thing. And Gammy abides by the rule. Yes, sir. Salute. We could have this discussion all day of like who makes the moves politically, who doesn't, who makes the calls. Sometimes it's just the booker just doesn't want to have them win at this point in time. And it's just simple. It's just simpler and non-headache to just go, nah, veteran wins. End of story. Could just be that simple. Excuse me. December 5th. I talked about the Kana, Ayumi Kurihara, Miyu Shirai trios match against Oka, Yamagata, Ryu Mizunami. Team Kana wins. Very solid. Another 1 out of 3 effort. Very, very consistent in this regard, as I remember to make my... I gotta put this in the Joshi 2010's match guide, which you can have access to in that Joshi 2010's Google Drive. So if you're subscribed to the Patreon to get access to that Google Drive, just leave me a message on Patreon. I might see it. I'll probably see it after a day or two. Depends if I'm logged in or not. And then the easiest way would be just message me on Twitter. @BowlingJD. DMs are open. Oh, excuse me. Okay. We've somehow made it 18 minutes into this thing. That's pretty cool. So, where were we? Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Okay. So, here we are. 157, Shinkiba first ring. We have a Gammy Ran Yuyu main event. LLPW against Gaia. Right? Or Arcean against Gaia. I don't know. You take your pick which company you want them to be against. They do Gammy comedy. It essentially becomes a goofy 2 out of 3 falls match. Gammy wins the first 45 seconds roll up. They restart the match. Ran Yuyu wins in 13 seconds roll up. And then they proceed to have a very slow and brooding 15 and a half minute match. Do not care for these starts at all. Just give me a solid match from the get-go. I don't need the shtick. It's such a wave thing where even if they don't intend to be comical, they end up being comical. And hardy hard do they think it's funny. Haha, it's so funny. Oh, so funny. Ran Yuyu beats Gammy. This one I don't have much issue with because Gammy's on the road to retirement herself any day, right? And you get one more match out of him, but clearly nobody had interest in this, even during the month of December. And it wasn't good. It just simply wasn't good. The last show here. December 16th. Yeah, we watched the whole show on this one. Because there was no DualShock Wave. And we have... Okay. We got a pretty decent Ayako Mata, Gammy Yu Yamagata trios match defeating Aya Yuki, Ryu Mizunami, and Sawaka Shimono. So Yuki's escaped the clutches of Diana, and she's showing some development herself. She's like a poor man's Tsubasa Kurigaki at this point in time. She can show out every now and again, and she's showing some potential. Let's see if she can live up to it. Ayumi Kurihara beats a person in a gorilla suit for 3 minutes. Don't know why that was here. Not how I'd book Ayumi Kurihara personally. Hikaru Shida teams up with Yumi Oka to take on Kana and Mio Shirai, 12 and a half minutes. This was solid, another 1 out of 3 effort type match. I do recommend this one. A lot of these wave matches I'm recommending, nothing hits above, like, you have to go out of your way to see it, but a lot is, you're not going to waste your time. And another you're not going to waste your time is the Shushi Batani Tomoko Nakagawa match. Nice little workhorse match, made for TV, 1 out of 3 rec. Right. So, I don't feel like I wasted my time watching these shows, watching these matches. Look, I had my golf clubs, I was putting new grips on them and everything, I had it on in front of me. It was very simple and enjoyable to watch most of these matches. And I'm like, okay, that was a nice little few hours that I took aside, and now we get to the main event of all this, and it's wave tag titles on the line. Ohada and Fujimoto coming off their DualShock wave victory, and they're taking on a baffling challenging team to main event this. Makoto and Moika Haruhi. Hold on. Wiki Pro Wrestling Wave DualShock Wave Tournament. Because if I'm right, I believe this is... I think they got the least amount of points in the tournament next to the goofy Osaka Osaka team, because it was blocked. It was blocked out. Let's see here. 2012. Yeah, they got one victory. One. Who'd they beat? They beat the Kurihara Ida team. Yeah, because Mika Ida was just eating falls every day. So, team-wise, they were the lowest. Why Shida and Oka couldn't win. Where was Shibutani and Shuri in this case, even though they just faced each other in the finals? Ayaka Hamada Kana. Where were they at? But anyways, yeah, I was right. They weren't dead last, but they were anyways. Two low end workers going for the tag titles. Ohada Fujimoto are breaking out. They're almost there. They're getting there to like some main event level match quality. Makoto has her spear. Haruhi has whatever. You know, she's not the greatest, guys. She's very much rough to watch a majority of the time. Can't recommend this match very much. Fujimoto still got the tetherball going around. I don't get it. And that's how they close out the year. You know, yes, they announced the title tournament, but we didn't get really much in development for people. Ayumi Kurihara's, you know, she's going to CMLL. That's what she's doing. She's heading to indies in, like, Okinawa, and she's going to Mexico because, you know, people book her against people and stuff gorillas. If it was me, and I wanted to, like, I don't know, get 400 people in Shinkiba first ring, I'm putting Kurihara in the main event with Ayayuki. You know, they just fought each other, hard fought, maybe their tag partner. Have them go for the title. That's way more interesting than green as low grass Makoto and Moika Haruhi. And this is just from, like, a Japanese put on the best match perspective, right? Anyways. Can't recommend the DVD personally, but this leads us off with a couple JWP shows now, back-to-back. Pure Wars in Tokyo. This is where Emi Sakura is following up Yonayama going for gold. She's going for gold herself. And then after that, it is November 11th, JWP, where I believe this is actually on, let's see, it's a number one contenders tournament, and then we have a Kana Pro match that I have written down here. We'll have to look into why. And then finally, we're getting to that Reina de Reina show. Again, look out for the Lucha Joshi episode for that one coming out on the Patreon here. And if you're not subscribed to the Patreon, you're listening on All Japan Women Destiny, consider subscribing. You'll get a lot of women's wrestling history, get a lot of podcasts like that. Just finishing up the Stardom Tag League, which has been an interesting thing to cover. And 2 years in a row, covered every single Stardom 5-Star Grand Prix show. Get LOPW, Pure J reviews, so you won't find more dedicated women's wrestling history content, I don't think, anywhere else. So thank you for subscribing. Consider subscribing. See you next time.